نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. The approach of Ramadan, only 3.5 months left. The anxiety builds up that what are we supposed to be doing in order to improve this year's Ramadan. Whatever has happened in the past has happened, and we can't recoup what has already passed. But what we are going into, how can we maximize and make the best out of it? Allah Ta'ala loves the quality of thanks, appreciation. And if someone has got appreciation and gratitude in him, but in the right way, with the right understanding and the right application, then there can't be a person that can be ahead of him. This was the element that Shaitan used against man, and he announced it, وَلَا تَجِدُ أَكْثَرَهُمْ شَاكِرِينَ. Then I can sway the person and maneuver the person when he doesn't have gratitude in him. So the security and the protection is to just upgrade and to increase and improve the levels of gratitude. Then gratitude primarily to the source, that is Allah Ta'ala, for He is the source of all bounties, favors, etc. Then gratitude also to those means that were instrumental in passing on the favors to us. So primarily the gratitude to Allah Ta'ala, and thereafter those that were the reasons for those favors pouring down upon us. Anishkur li wali walidayk. Allah Pak says Himself that be thankful to me and thankful to your parents. But now the gratitude needs some level of understanding, that how do we express our gratitude. So the Quran Sharif and the Hadith is replete in teaching us how do we go about showing gratitude. An animal also will feel pressed to show some level of gratitude. You threw some scraps of bones and meat, and then it comes, licks at your feet, wags its tail, but it's humbling itself just on account of the little good that you have done. So the animal also knows that gratitude must be expressed. And then mankind will then express gratitude at the highest level. An animal that doesn't have that level of sense and understanding as you have, if it can show gratitude, it can show appreciation, then man that has been blessed with the highest level of acumen and understanding, intelligence, then what is the level of gratitude that man is required to show? So overall, we enjoy the benefits and the favors of Allah Ta'ala in health, we enjoy, and you only understand, appreciate this favor when you see the person who has lost his health. Got sugar, diabetes, cancer, heart problems. When he's lost it, ask him how he feels. Then what is the level of appreciation we show when we enjoy this favor of health from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then we have got time. Without time, time is the capital. And without time, you can't score, you can't gain anything. Allah Ta'ala blessed you with time again. So He's given you health, He's given you time. Then He's given you wealth. But wealth didn't just come like that, no. It was the blessing of Allah Ta'ala. He created certain means and avenues for you to enjoy. So what is the level of gratitude that is required when Allah Ta'ala has blessed you with health, wealth, different avenues of and favors that Allah Ta'ala has blessed you? So do we show the level of gratitude that is desired and required from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So one of the main or the greater favor of Allah ta'ala is the favor of time. One is the people that have passed on the favors upon us, like our parents, and how do we go about showing them that respect? and the gratitude. Generally, it's just two things. One is that we see to their good, they are in good shape, they are in good ways. Number two is that we also show and express some type of moral support. It's not just we just see into the bodily needs and our duty is done, no. But it's somehow or the other, we give them that moral support that we are happy with you, we are for you, we are going to be visiting you, we make dua for you. So now, the parents that have been aged especially, they feel that this child is with me, although he's doing some other work, but his heart and his mind is with me, he hasn't forgotten the favors that were conferred upon him. So you give them the bodily support, and you also give them a moral support, so this parent feels very happy. And then, what you get out of it is, the greatest thing you get is that, phir unke dil se dua phoot karke nikalta hai. Then you find that the dua that is made, that comes from the crevice of the heart. You don't have to request the dua, rather the dua just comes, automatically it just comes, and the way it comes, and then it works wonders. So don't worry about what he's doing and what he's not doing to you, but think to yourself, am I showing the level of gratitude that is required towards my parents? There was a youngster, very, very poor ability to retain. No retention. Can't just retain things. But very respectful, very obedient, very kind towards his parents. Respectful, humble, kind, and truthful to his parents. But naturally, he was deficient, he was weak, mentally, can't retain things. The mother sends him, go and fetch the flower from the shop. He comes to the shop and he's forgotten what the mother has sent him for. The memory was so weak. Oh, now, son, go and get the salt. Before he comes to the grocery shop, he's forgotten. Anyway, but the mother was overwhelmed with the child's behavior, his gratitude, his conformity, his obedience, his respect. He never showed an attitude. So this, not showing that attitude, really wins the heart. So when he's done this, one day, when he just forgot and he came to the mother and said, I just forgot what you asked me to do. So the mother just placed the hands on the head of the child, said, O Allah Ta'ala, brighten the understanding of my child. You see, by the morning, this child was a different person altogether. In what spirit, what level that dua was made, that is the important thing, that spirit, that sincerity, and that love that she had for the child, because the child had already won the heart. 15, 16 years of age, he won the heart because of his respect, his humility, his respect, giving her the moral support. But just that it was a natural disability, he couldn't retain things. By the morning, the child was already a different person altogether. Now, presently, that person, the same person now, is recognized as an authority in Arabic grammar. Throughout the world now, you want someone to refer to in Arabic grammar, this is the person. But then you look at his beginning, and what difference the mother's dua made was altogether something different. So this is one type of gratitude. Then you look at the greatest imam in hadith, we talk about Amir al-Mu'minin fil hadith, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, and then the progress and the leaps and the bounds that he had made afterwards was largely on account of his mother's dua, where the child was totally blind. And then in the motherly love, in the concern for the child, he just cried to Allah Ta'ala. And the man just got his sight full. He regained his sight full, became the Imam of Hadith. Now, largely attributed to his mother. Many a times we disregard this woman. We don't think much about them. And I suppose it's because of the sincerity. They're not spoken about. At a jalsa, a child is completing the hifz, right? Then you say, this boy, the son of so-and-so man, he's the father. But the mother is in the shadows, nobody knows about her. So, and she's not complaining about him. All she wants to see is, my child must progress. Whether she gets a name or she doesn't get the name, she is not concerned. So you can well imagine what is the level of goodness of the heart of the mother for the child. But when the child comes of age, then what's required of him, so as to allow the the good to continue. Because he's going to get also children, he's going to get grandchildren, and he wants the good to continue. That he must do something, that he wins the heart, and the heart just pour out. It's just forced, it's poured. When it pours out, now that's a security, a cover that he has made up for himself, for his child, and for his grandchildren. So, one of the greater favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the favor of time. And unfortunately, and this is a favor that is most oppressed. You'll find youngsters sitting around. What are you doing? We're killing time. What are you supposed to be livening, appreciating and holding to very, very dearly? And they will say in the free time, we're sitting here just killing time. Can you imagine the level, the gross level of ingratitude? That favor that was about the greatest and you're destroying it. In your own hands, imagine, you give a child a bundle of notes and he's tearing it, ripping it into pieces. Is there any greater ingratitude? And again, you look at it from a different perspective. Look at the level of endurance of Allah Ta'ala. You're destroying my greatest favor, but I still give you some respite. Now, we don't take advantage of this thing here. We don't abuse these things here. It's a favor of Allah Ta'ala. And how do we retain? So throughout our lives, we'll find the favors of Allah Ta'ala glaring at us. Every day, there is a moment where the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are pouring, especially in the latter part of the night. So the latter part of the night is called Sahar, when we say Sahri, right? It's about the last one-sixth of the night. So say, for example, the night was 9 hours, so the last 1.5 hour. So that is the time really to score. When Allah Ta'ala comes right to your house, as though he's knocking at your door, bhai kuch mangna hai, do you need anything? Let me do it for you. Hal min mustarzifin, hal min mustaghfirin. So Allah Ta'ala is calling out. Imagine the king of the world had come to your door and he's knocking, is asking, any need, can I do you have? So will you turn and say, just hang around there now, you're disturbing my sleep, I need to get up at about 7:30. Will you have that attitude? Say, it's an opportunity of a lifetime, more than a lifetime. Allah Ta'ala has come himself and he's asking, is there any need that I can see? So all that requires is we just correct and adjust our sleeping time. So because the nights are short nowadays, the peak summer, right, Isha Namaz is going to be just now at about 8:45, 9 o'clock, and Fajr Namaz is about 4:15. So it's about just 3.5, 5 hours between the both namazes, right? And then now, minus the time that you need to make wuzu, etc., and your sunnahs, etc., and the snacks that you're going to have after Isha. So all put together, perhaps the sleeping time is 4.5 hours, right? But now, you know, the favor of Allah Ta'ala at that time, at the last moments, and he's calling out any person, anyone, any takers now. Are there any takers? I'm there. My treasury has opened out. Take what you want. Ask what you want. So what that requires is that we appreciate the time. That after Isha, then we don't get into any casual discussions, especially discussions that don't concern our deen. Yes, it's an important deeni discourse or a discussion, then we attend to it. But after that, then we don't get into any side talks. When we get into side talks, then sometimes, because there's no namaz immediately after that, then that side talk may go about 1 hour, 2 hours. By the time you're going to sleep, it's 11, 12 o'clock. Then one of three things must be sacrificed. Either the tahajjud is going to go, or the Quran recitation, the Quran al-fajr, min al-layli fa tahajjad bi, that's going to go, or your fajr namaz is going to be compromised. And I ask you, is it worth the price? Even if you're going to a party, you tell the folks, let the party be before Isha, not after Isha. This season here, we can't make it. If you humbly request, inshallah, they'll accede to your request. Let it be before Isha, then going after Isha, because that party, the dawat, barai, whatever it is going to drag for another 2 hours. After Isha, it's 11 o'clock, you come home, it's already 12 o'clock, going to sleep, and you have to get up at 3:30 or something, right? How are you going to make it? So something is going to be missed out and left out. Either the tahajjud is going to go, the invite from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a golden opportunity has been lost, or number two, otherwise, the second thing that can go, that you won't do the recitation at that time. Allah Pak says, وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَتَهَجَّدْ بِهِ. So he's asking you to recite the Quran Sharif at that time, So he knows, he is the king of the worlds, he knows what is the prime time for your recitation of the Quran. See, that's the prime time. And as you say, as though with your body language you are saying that my bride means more to me, my relationship with people is more to me than my relationship with you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you just stay aside, let me do my things as I want to do. So I ask you, when Allah Pak is throwing out these opportunities to us free of charge, and we just disregard them, is it fair? Is it, ask yourself, is it right? Either that is going to go, or the tahajjud is going to go, or the Quran Sharif recitation, or otherwise the Fajr Namaz is going to be left out altogether, or at least a rakat or two rakats is going to go out. And now then the hadith says, then for such a person, the shaitan urinates, makes pisab in the ears. As a result, the whole day now you're going to feel miserable. You don't feel the energy, the motivation, the drive. You're going to take a double bull, even a triple bull, but you won't find the energy. You won't find that motivation and the drive in you, because you started off the day in violation of the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how do you expect the day to move well? When the man has blessed you with the time, he's given you another day to live, and then just as a token of appreciation, couldn't we just get up and as a token of appreciation, he's given you another day, an additional day for you and your family, just to stand up and just to raise your hands and thank Allah Ta'ala, and another day you have given me, and I really, really appreciate this time. So this is the one time that we appreciate, and this happens every day. It happens at that time. At that time, that is the precious time. We need to appreciate, we need to show gratitude to. Then the second time that is also very, very great and we need to appreciate is the Jummah, right? And the Jummah, there are two times that the ulama explained. Imam Shafi rahmatullah says that the time where the du'as are answered is from Zawal right till the end of the Jummah, right? Obviously at the time of the khutbah you can't say anything, but the time is from Zawal right till the end of the Jummah first namaz. So the time is extending. So in between, you want to make some dua, that dua is definitely going to get answered. But then for that, what is required? You be vigilant, you be focused. You can't have an absent mind towards Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala is talking to you, and you are an absent mind. Then you need to be fully focused, that Allah Ta'ala, the creator of the worlds, He is focused towards me, and I need to exploit, I need to maximize from this opportunity. The other time, on a Jummah, that most ulama say, is the time between Asr and Maghrib. For whatever is worth, even if you have to close our shops and our businesses, just between Asr and Maghrib, right? And we send a single petition to Allah Ta'ala, or Hamara kaam ban gaya, to Zindagi aur Akhirat ka kaam ban gaya. If it is that He answers that one dua, then not only the dunya has been sorted out, even your Akhirat has been sorted out, but He says that time is just between Asr and Maghrib on a Friday. So we avail ourselves, get freed from every other taqaza, every other need. Now this time is too precious. Because Allah Pak has opened out His treasures and He's saying, any takers, any grabbers, come, my treasures are open to you and you need to just take from them. So this is the second time that the hadith speaks about, that very, very important, very significant. And let's make it a plan and a program or a resolution in our lives, that this two times we will not lose out. The time on a Jummah from the Zawal till the end of the Faraz Namaz, and the time on a Jummah on a Friday from Asr till Maghrib. And all of us, we are embodiments of needs. Can we say at any time that we don't have needs? We have needs. We have needs of our wives, our children, our businesses, our well-being, our children's well-being, our parents, right? We have got needs of this world, needs of the hereafter. And what an excellent time when Allah Pak Himself is saying, I'm here for you now. I'm here. Come to me. I'm here for you. And He's guaranteeing you. Tumhara kaam ban jayega. Dunya bhi ban jayegi. Akhirat bhi ban jayegi. Allah Pak Tawfiq.